Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence through the way prepared through Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And as we come to hear your word, to hear what you speak to us, what you have planned, Lord Jesus, what you have performed, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and apply. Let us not go beyond what is written, but take hold of all that is written. To follow you and to follow you truly. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. morning. It's good to be here. Whenever we get comfortable with the acoustics in this hall, then we get an upgrade. So we're going to figure out how to do this with the new windows and the glass. But if you're struggling to hear me right now, it's not your fault. There's some space in the front here as well where the acoustic might be better. There's sort of like spaces where the sound waves bounce. I did sound for 10 years, so don't feel like there's something wrong with your hearing. Unless there's something wrong with your hearing, then we'll pray for you afterwards. I love the Lord's timing. We're busy walking through Matthew, and we're in the Beatitudes at the moment. And so this morning we're in Blessed Are Those Who Mourn. And I was just amazed at the Lord's timing with bringing us to Passover for Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so this morning, the sermon is Blessed in the Morning. It's a little play on words there, in case you didn't see it. Like I said last time, we need to look at the Beatitudes. We need to look at them as a whole. These are not parts of some Christians. Some believers have some of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, when we look at them, they talk about a whole, a condition of a heart of a believer. And so I want us to just read through them again as we start on this second one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so last week we looked at what does it mean to be poor in spirit, and I wasn't here last week, right? This was the week before. Quick one. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to? It's a reference to bending your intellect back under the lordship of Christ, as we see in Psalm 119, where the psalmist says in verse 68, and he says, we must come to this place where we say, God, you are good. What you do is good. From that place, that you are good and what you do is good, teach me. As we come under again, as we bend back from our rebellion against God and we bend under, poor in spirit, like a beggarly person bending, aware of our poor estate. And that's in a sense, that's a way to see how we think. That's our intellectual understanding. We first have to hear the word of the gospel. We first have to have a form of understanding in the sense that you got to hear it, and then it makes you bend, makes you realize, oh my goodness, I thought I was right, but I am very wrong. And so I come and I bow before the one who is right and righteous. And so when it continues, this is why it's important not to separate the Beatitudes from one another. In that place where we are aware of our poverty of spirit, in that place, we come and we have an emotional experience. We have an emotional connection. We are aware. And so when we read here, blessed are those who mourn, You know, we can talk a lot about mourning. The world mourns. There's a lot of mourning that goes on. There's a lot of death. So mourning is real. I know in the West we try and outsource it, exclude it, avoid it. So previously when I preached on this last year, basically a year ago, I was looking more at the mourning for what goes on around us. But today, in the context of the rest of the Beatitudes, I want to look at mourning, because mourning means it is a grieving over a death. And so figuratively, it means a grieving over a spiritual separation. Your death, your separation from that which is life, the Father. So as we bend our wills, as we come in poverty of spirit to the one who is righteous, we experience deep mourning as believers. Spiritual mourning, aware of our separation. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we must be careful here. Sometimes there are things that are the kingdom now, but not yet. Comfort is not one of those that is not yet. But it is linked. It is conditional. As we're going to talk about this morning, as we consider this morning, what does it mean? What does it mean to be that they shall be comforted? What does that look like? Because comfort here is also the same word from which we get the comforter, the Holy Spirit. If you go into the Greek, it's all connected to the same root. But in this context, it's a legal term. It says those who mourn over their estate, those who mourn, who come to the Father, they shall be comforted. Because in the cross, in Christ, the comfort is this. He comes alongside and says it is finished. So blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted. Because Christ comes alongside and says it is finished. Before the Father, it is a legal argument he makes as our advocate. So it's very important as we go through these Beatitudes that we see what mourning is he talking about. Primarily, what I'm saying is, primarily he's not talking about physical mourning over a death here, although that is implied as well. What he's talking about is a spiritual mourning, a deeper mourning in your life. When you come to the realization, I am going this way, I have been going this way, this is actually the way of rebellion. The world says it's okay, but it's not. And you mourn that and that separation, and in that moment, Christ says, no, but it is finished. I saw your rebellion, your idolatry, your pursuit of the things of the world, the love of the world. And yes, you are now mourning it, because you see that that life is in the will of the Father. And so you turn. But I, Christ, I want to comfort you. I have paid for that. It is finished. And this morning, I think we can spend a lot of time on what we should mourn. I believe primarily, spiritually, we mourn idolatry, because the first four Beatitudes are primarily about our relationship with God that needs restoration. The heart of a Christian first is restored to the Father, then from that place restored to one another. And so here we see comfort being granted to those who mourn. It sounds contrary to the way of the world, because the world says, blessed are those who are happy. But what does comfort mean? Well, if you can't mourn, you can't be comforted, according to Christ's words here. And what does comfort mean? Because he doesn't explain here what will be comforting. He just says, for they shall be comforted. And this is, once again, when we look at the Beatitudes, we should not forget the Old Testament. The Beatitudes are not spoken in a vacuum. And they are actually so deeply connected to Isaiah 61. That's where we're going to be parked off this morning. That's where we're going to be sitting this morning. Because when we look at Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. poverty of spirit. I've only got from verse 2 up there. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. It's talking about Jesus, right? He quotes this in Luke when he starts his ministry, but the Beatitudes is really just another way of saying the same thing. When you look at the Beatitudes, they are really the same heart as Isaiah 61. And it continues. What is the Spirit upon Jesus for? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Hold on. How does this work? The year of the Lord's favor, yes, because we have been restored to the face of God. In Christ, we are walking in the favor of God, in relationship with the Father. But those who do not turn to put their trust in what Christ has done, the day of vengeance of our God, that is something worth mourning. That is something worth mourning. And then he continues. So we you can see the echo here of the Beatitudes. To comfort all who mourn. What does he mean by this? Because in Beatitudes, he doesn't explain. Jesus doesn't explain in the Beatitudes. What does he mean? They shall be comforted. Does it mean they shall be comfortable? I don't think so. Not if you read the rest of the gospel. To comfort those who mourn. To grant, and here we go. So there are a couple of things we're going to look at here this morning in these verses. What does Jesus mean when he says those who mourn, those who are aware, and because that mourning is a continuous process, right? It's the mourning shall be blessed. It's not I mourned. It is as I follow the one who is good and does good and he teaches me statutes, I become more aware of how big the trouble was that I was actually in, how dead I was. And I mourn it. But then the comforter comes and says, it is dealt with. It is finished. It is good news. I am risen. But what does comfort look like? And we've heard this so many times, but let's look at it again. To grant. Yeah, it's interesting. To grant. It's not forced upon you. To grant to those who mourn in Zion. Very important qualification here. Why on earth is he talking about Zion? The king reigns in Zion. It's a principle. It's talking about the reign of Christ, the lordship of Christ. In other words, who is comfort for? Is comfort for the world? No. The world's going to become more uncomfortable. Is comfort, who's it for? It's for those who mourn in Zion under the lordship of Christ. Those who confess that Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. These are those, we are in Zion if we confess that. Comfort is for those who mourn in Zion. We must be careful to comfort the world if they are not in Zion. There's only one way into Zion. One person. One gate. One shepherd. Not many ways to Christ, to God. It's only one way, through Christ, into Zion. And this is what he starts with. To give them what? It's going to be a portion here that's just a bunch of teaching, and we'll get too practical just now. I'm going to hold on. To give them what? A beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. When Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the mourning, for they shall be comforted. He's talking about how is he going to comfort? He's talking about verse 3. Talking about a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Because what is our condition as mourners? We become aware that everything is going to be burned to ash. We are sitting on an ash heap. It's just a matter of time. We experience loss in this life. We experience physical death. That's what the mourning here is referring to here. Instead of mourning, oil of gladness. That mourning there is talking about this physical experience of someone that has died. That we mourn. This is our experience. This side of eternity. And then we have a faint spirit. Faint can also be translated a dim spirit. A fearful spirit. Afraid. But for those who mourn in Zion, here is the comfort. Here is the comfort I will give them, I will grant to them. A beautiful headdress. Because we have this like beauty for ashes phrase that we use, right? It's bumper stickers and all over the place. But it's actually, he says, not beauty for ashes, beautiful headdress. Like the high priest had a turban which said, holy to the Lord. Like the bridegroom wears a type of crown, a headdress, when it's time for the wedding feast. It's a time of great joy. He's saying, and once again, we should not separate these three and say, I want this, and you can have that, and you can take that, this is for you. This is talking about the whole experience of the heart of a Christian. When we mourn, this is what is granted to us to take hold of fully. It is a dressing experience. This is a person being dressed. This is us. We are being dressed with a headdress instead of the ashes on our head in the morning. With the oil of gladness. Psalm 45 speaks so powerfully. This comes from Psalm 45, by the way, the oil of gladness. And it's this love song to the Messiah as we wait for the wedding day. And it says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. It's talking of Christ, and Christ comes and gives us the oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And I love how we talk about this. Let's praise our, you know, put on the word music and get to praise, and that's cool. But it's actually garment of praise, not actually talking really about that. It's talking about a colorful garment, a bold garment, instead of a dim, faded, shy garment. This is what is granted to us. So let's talk about this. I want to start to unpack this a bit more. If we read the words of Christ, and says, blessed are the mourning, for they shall be comforted. You know, my experience, verse 2, to comfort all who mourn, I have been comforted. I want to share something. 17 years ago this week, I found myself aware of my poverty of spirit. Because the world said what I was doing was okay. The world said what I was pursuing was okay. My rationalizing, I was the reasonable man, law student, it was okay. But there was a moment 17 years ago this week, it didn't feel right, did it? To go the way of the world, to love the things of the world, to love, to lust, pleasure, possessions, power. It just didn't feel right, but the world said it was okay. And then on a couch in Kleinmond, I was sitting and I was like, Lord, I don't know, I have no idea. My frame of reference was broken, been years before I'd encountered Christianity really in my life. I started reading a book. And in this book, it said, no, I'm not the reasonable man, I'm a fornicator. In this book, it said, no, I am not the tame of my tongue, I am a blasphemer. In this book, it said, there is one who lived a life that was different to mine, and that is the standard. My standard, the world standard, the West standard is not the standard. This book said, this is the standard. He came, he lived, he walked. It looked this way. It is true. He died physically, buried physically, raised physically. This is the truth. That is the lie. I mourned. Nobody came to teach me to pray. I said, God, help. I didn't have a sinner's prayer. I just said, God, help. Help. I am poor. I am a blasphemer. I am a fornicator. I am poor. Help. I am dead. Have you prayed that? Have you mourned? Have you said, Lord, help? Because those who mourn will be comforted. So my story doesn't end there. It continues because he is alive. He is risen. He is life. I was dead. But it took me a few years to figure out that there were things granted to me that I had not taken hold of. Things granted. I was comforted. But you know, my spiritual experience as a Christian, I was still shy. I was still ashamed. I was still uncomfortable. I knew what I had believed and that I had been born again, in whom I had placed my hope, whose record I believed would stand the test. But there are things granted me here that I had not taken hold of. Because a beautiful headdress, nice, sounds pretty, right? It's a crown. Who gets a crown? Royalty get a crown. It's one of the things we need to take hold of that's granted to us in comfort is our adoption. If the king adopts you, you become royalty. Your identity changes from an orphan to a son. You get a headdress, a turban that says, Holy to the Lord. Your identity becomes that of a son, but it's granted to you. Here's the comfort. Will you take hold of it? Do you want to remain in this identity? What's the second one? The oil of gladness instead of mourning. I referred to Psalm 45. Now, oil, this is, once again, this person's getting dressed. Their condition is being changed. It's being granted to them to dress in this way. The oil symbolizes something, doesn't it? Smell. It's a fragrance. Oil was anointing oil. It was mixed with spices. Where Paul writes, says in 2 Corinthians 2, he says, we have become a fragrance of Christ to God. Fragrance. To those being saved and to those who are perishing, we are a fragrance of death unto death and life unto life. What is that fragrance? When we mourn, it's what's connected with mourning, a physical loss. We do not mourn the way of the world without hope. The fragrance of Christ in us speaks of a hope to come. The bridegroom is coming back. He's coming for his bride. Every funeral I'm at reminds me the bridegroom is coming. Psalm 45, he's the one. Go read Psalm 45. It's beautiful. It's a love song for our Messiah. Sing it. The oil of gladness is speaking of that fragrance of Christ. fragrance to those who are being saved, like us. It speaks every time we have to greet a brother or sister. It prophesies he's coming back again. They are in Christ. He'll bring them with. To the world who is perishing, who will not take hold of what Christ has done, that smell is a smell of death to death. But we have no choice in this. This is our anointing. We must share what hope is, who hope is, where it is found. There is only one way. And here then is the last one. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. This is my interpretation. Go and test it with the Lord. I believe this is speaking. If I'm standing here in Joseph's robes, right, I don't have that kind of confidence. But that's the picture here. A garment of praise is very bold. Who is supposed to give you boldness? Who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Who tells us, cry out, Abba, Father? Who reminds you, you have been buried with Christ. It's no longer you who live. You've been crucified there. What has been raised, born again in Christ. Who does that? Who ministers to us in our mourning? Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. And I believe this is what we are looking at here. When Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted, they shall receive an identity. In Christ, adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. They will bring the fragrance of hope to say, this is not the end for those who are in Christ. This is the invitation. The gospel is still there. It is still speaking. It is still good news. He is still risen. The tomb is still empty. Every funeral reminds us he's coming back again. To do all of that, you need boldness in our relationships, in our families. You need a garment that screams, a garment that's like, oh, what's that? I have like this kind of color clothes. Must be the lawyer in me. And this is where I want us to park for a moment this morning. Because as we are those who mourn in Zion, as we have placed our hope solely and only on Christ and what he has done, as we come to that place again this morning, as we speak the truth and we say, Jesus is not a theory, he's not a philosophy, it's not a teaching, he's a person. He walked, he talked without sin. He died physically dead, he was buried, he was raised. What does it mean? It means for me there is hope. I can take hold of that record. I can take that record. Say, Lord, that was my story, but this can be my story. How does this work? Because these are characteristics of Christ that we are talking about, that we are granted. How does this granting work? Isaiah didn't understand. He just said it was granted to those who mourn in Zion. How is it granted to us? It's granted on a cross. That's why I brought the cross from the crosswalk, to remind us it is on a cross where he wore thorns, where he was beaten, where he was naked, where he bled. It was on a cross where he exchanged his record, his perfect, sinless record. The Son of God, the Son of Man, on the cross, he grants to us comfort. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. On the cross is the exchange for our mourning to be comforted. And so this morning, I want to invite you, just as we leave that up there, maybe you're here this morning and you still think that this is a sufficient record, that you're a good person. I want to say to you, this record of Jesus Christ, for 30 years he walked without sin, that's the one you need. The record the world says is okay, it's not going to stand. We call sin mistakes, falling short, missing the mark. God calls it rebellion, and he says, here is the one, the sinless lamb, spotless. Put your trust in him. Maybe that's for you this morning. You haven't done that. You have not mourned your record. You have not put your trust in his record. But then there's some of us who are in like my condition. I put my trust in what Christ has done. I had mourned and I'd been somewhat comforted, but what has been granted to me, I had not taken hold of. That is a shame. It was my story for many years. And here this morning is the invitation. It is still granted to you. An identity in Christ is still granted to you. To spread the fragrance of Christ wherever you go is still granted to you. To be bold by the empowering of the Holy Spirit is still granted to you. Will you receive it? Will you take hold of it? So let us close our eyes. Father, as we come before you in this day, as we reflect on the cross, and we also reflect today on the empty tomb. Would you speak to us? What is it that you have granted to each one of us that we have not taken hold of? Is it eternal life? We have not even gone there. Holy Spirit, would you convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Is it that we have not received what you have granted to us, identity, the fragrance, to be empowered? Whatever it is, Lord, this day, I pray that we would not walk out here uncomforted by you. I want to give you a moment to respond to the Father as he has laid something on your heart that he has granted you. Maybe you just haven't taken hold of it in fullness yet. If you can, while all the eyes are closed, we're just going to say, just open your hands and say, Father, I receive what you grant me in this area. I want the whole package. Let me not leave here uncomforted. Just more, Lord Jesus, more. Until it overflows, until life breaks forth, until healing comes. More, Lord Jesus, more. Speak to your sons and daughters. Thank you. I have good news for you, especially as you are. Your comfort is not about only you. What a relief. It's not the end. It's part of a further process, a bigger story. We continue with Isaiah. We continue with Isaiah verse 3. It says, all of this comfort, all of what you've received, what you've asked, granted to you from the Father, is that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Isaiah is doing a play on words here. He's saying, You know, the oaks were where the idols were. He says, now you will be oaks of righteousness. He flips upside down the pagan practice of the time. He says, you will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And how shall he be glorified? They, those who mourned and were comforted, shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is to be your story. This is to be the purpose of your comforting. This is to be what God calls you. This is what we're called to. These things will glorify God. The world will say, that guy was going this way. Now he's going this way. His family is now going this way. This is amazing. What is going on here? You will rebuild. Because God will be glorified in your comfort. And Paul uses this word. I'm going to skip to the next slide. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We just learnt. What does he mean when he says the comfort? Will you join me as I take hold of this scripture? As I take hold of the fact that I have mourned and I have been comforted, because on a cross that I did not carry, my comfort was purchased for me at great expense so that I can receive it freely. As I celebrate what comfort means for me, what the cross means, let us take the bread. Lord Jesus, we thank you that there was only one, there's only one. You are the one. Your body is the perfect sacrifice. Your body was broken in our place. Your body died in our place. And as we eat together, we celebrate that your body has been raised as the firstborn from the dead, and we partake of your resurrection life, and that your comfort is for us and for those around us to be comforted as well. Let us eat together. And Lord Jesus, as we are reminded of your words, take, eat, this is my body, drink, this is my blood, of the new covenant, shed for us, a covenant that you uphold, the Son of Man, faithful, righteous, holy. As we consider our need, we put our trust in what your blood has already purchased. For us, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And as we drink together, we come again and remember your covenant that is still speaking an invitation, that is still granting to us what you have purchased on the cross, what you've exchanged for us, so that we can live and glorify you. Let us drink. You'll stand with me. Father, I thank you that we have come into this place. We have been reminded of the plans you had before we even rebelled. The plan you fulfilled, Jesus, while we were still dead in our sin. The victory you apply to us, Holy Spirit, by faith in what Christ has done. And I want to pray for us as we have received comfort here this morning, that we would be empowered to comfort those around us with the good news of what Christ has done. I'm reminded of the story of Saul and Barnabas in the Philippian jail, where they were afflicted. Things did not work out according to their planning, and they were probably mourning that, but they were singing. And that brought comfort to a Philippian jailer thereafter. And I'm reminded of Nehemiah, who heard the words of the devastation of Jerusalem. I'm reminded that Nehemiah mourned and he wept and then he prayed and he said, Lord, and I paraphrase, God help, we have sinned. Help us. Show us how to rebuild. And so as we go from this place, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lay on each one of us, of our hearts, people, places, situations that need the true comfort that is in the gospel, so that we can lead people to Zion through the way that has been made. You are the way, Lord Jesus. You are the life. You are the truth. And I pray that as you go from this place, that you would bring that fragrance of Christ, life unto life and death unto death. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to still pray with someone, you feel like there's something that the Holy Spirit really wants you to not leave with this place, a conviction, you're welcome to come to the front. We will pray with you here in the front. The rest, there is coffee at the back. Go and share the comfort.